I am personally extremely excited to be here this afternoon. I'm excited that you're here this afternoon, and I'm excited to dive into God's Word together. I was going to remember Jeremy to wish everybody a happy Father's Day, but I appreciate the reminder because I'm right there with you. You know, and it was particularly interesting. I was actually cognizant of the fact that it was going to be Father's Day in my preparation. And one of the things that I thought in particular is, Marshall, you cannot talk about Father's Day because you didn't talk about Mother's Day. Like, there's just no way that you can get away with, you know, if you remember, on Mother's Day, I did about a 7-minute thing about how the church is our mother, and sometimes we don't emphasize the fact that the church is our mother because that's been distorted. But scripturally, we do have a caring mother who is the Lord's church, and we talked about Hebrews 12, and then I said, now I'm going to talk about this. And God, guys, I have a real problem this morning. My topic fits right in with Father's Day. So hopefully the mothers don't stone me, because we are going to be talking about fathers a little bit this afternoon, and you'll have to forgive the irony. All right, we'll just go with that. We've been working through Romans chapter 8, and specifically looking at Romans chapter 8 and verses 3 and 4. We talked about mindset, okay, and we talked about the essential part of mindset, that we are not going to, the individual is going to perform in accordance with where his mind is set. Okay? The me I see is the me I'll be is a cliche that is out there, but is actually scripturally supported. And the way the scripture says it, I think Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as a man sees within himself, so he is. And so we talked about making sure that our mindset is in line and in accordance with what the Word of God says that a Christian's mindset should be. And we talked about the essentiality of a new heart. Person has to have a new heart to be able to serve God in any sort of capacity. That old heart was destroyed and marred by sin. And that old heart is not good for anything but to be thrown out. And so God provided a way for us to be able to receive a brand new heart, that we have brand new potential through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's pretty exciting. And if, you know, it was referenced in Sunday school, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so we talked about how that new heart had to come into play. But then where we wanted to get to, and where we're going to start in this afternoon, is talking about how we can make personal application of the law of liberty into our own lives on a day-to-day basis. Because we spent the past, not past 2 weeks, because I was gone 2 weeks ago, but the past two times I had the opportunity to speak, I talked about the law and how the law was good. Okay? And the law is good at pointing out sin. Okay? The law is very good at nailing each and every one of us who have reached the age of the accountability to the wall that we are guilty. It's good at that. The law is also very good at giving us a physical representation of spiritual reality. Okay? So, as was pointed out as well in Sunday school, okay, God had a spiritual tabernacle, okay, in heaven. That tabernacle came first. But for us to understand the heavenly tabernacle where Jesus offered his blood and glory, for us to understand that heavenly tabernacle, he had to give us a physical, earthly tabernacle, for us to be able to start to wrap our minds around what this heavenly tabernacle might look like. Otherwise, we don't have any basis for understanding. We're doing algebra with kids that don't know their arithmetic, right? And so it is really difficult, impossible to do algebra for kids that don't know their arithmetic. You got to have one before you can have the other. Well, God takes us and understands the thickness of the human skull and understands that it takes us some time sometimes to really get what he's communicating to us. So he's trying to get us to understand spiritual realities. He's trying to get us to understand what's actually going on in the spiritual realm. But for us to understand what's going on in the spiritual realm, we got to have something that we can see, that we can feel, that we can touch, to be able to really get that. And we use the different examples, for instance, with worship, right? And we talked a little bit about this on Wednesday nights as well, is that worship had to be done physically for us to understand that worship is being driven inward. For us to understand worship is going on in spirit and in truth, we have to have a comprehension that physical worship in the Old Covenant was the people gathering together on the feast days and bowing themselves down, a physical prostration. If we don't have that arithmetic, we can't get to the algebra. So that's, the law is good for those things. You know, Romans points out, what advantage does the Jew have? Well, the Jew had great advantage because he had the oracles of God. He had an understanding of that physical basis and foundation so that he could then quickly make spiritual application. And that's where the reality is going on. So that's what we've been working on throughout the past few weeks. But today, I want to contrast that a little bit with the new covenant and the law of liberty. See, ever since Jesus offered his spiritual blood in the tabernacle in heaven, that is not a mere copy like the physical one was, but the true tabernacle, ever since that point, and ever since Acts chapter 2, when the terms of the new covenant were announced for people to be able to take advantage of the new covenant, that's the covenant that we live under. I think we live under a system that is no longer ruled by law, but rather a system that is the law of liberty, or the faith-based system. A system of faith. Another way that the scripture puts it is the system of light. Okay, this is what God is communicating, that Christians today no longer are ruled by a set of rules and regulations, but rather something that is written in their heart. And that's something that we referenced when we were talking about the heart, is that God prophesied that there was going to be a people who had his law written on and in their heart. Each person wasn't going to have to say, "Know the Lord." Well, why? Because if you're in Christ, you already know the Lord. And so the law then is coming from the inside as opposed to being imposed by force. So we live under this system of the law of liberty. We have the ability to choose and to serve the Lord, but I want to talk for the next couple of weeks about our ability to translate that into capability. Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A person must believe that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens me before they actually do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I think that sometimes what I have seen and experienced is that there can be a disconnect between understanding that I have the ability and putting into practice, also known as the capability of that within my life. Well, it's kind of what growing in faith is all about, right? But there are specific practical things, okay, that we can do under the law of liberty to be able to translate ability into capability. Now, it starts and ends with faith, okay? But I think that I'm talking to a group that has an understanding of that. Let's start out, just as a foundational piece, let's start out in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians 9, a familiar passage here. Verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. As Christians, we should be very concerned about our production. Everybody runs in a race. Not everybody receives a prize. Run in such a way as you're one of those guys that gets a prize. Right? So, very concerned with my production. Very concerned with what I am producing. But one of the things that I've noticed is that when we get production oriented, a lot of times we can lose sight of the process. See, having the goal and understanding of production, winning the prize, does not necessarily translate into training to win the prize. And on an individual level, the only way that we are going to get the production that we desire, that is, winning the prize, is if we implement the training that will get us to winning the prize. That make sense to everybody? Some nods would... Okay, great. It's the afternoon. It's not too warm in here, okay, but I want to make sure everybody's awake. So, glad to see eyes open. The training or the process to get us to the production is what is going to power the Christian's life. Okay? Because... Got the opportunity. Joseph's here from Montana. And if you haven't met Joseph, I'd encourage you to do so. He's going to be here through the rally. It's good to have him. But since he was here from Montana, it gives us an excuse for me to do touristy things in Ohio that I've never done before, even though I've lived here all my life. Right? Might as well. It's like people ask me, so what do you think of Souders Village? And I'm like, I don't know. Last time I was there was, I was like six. You know, I got no interest in going. The people are coming from far and wide to go to Souders, but like, really? Okay. The barn's all right. So it gives me that excuse, right? I can go do Ohio touristy things. So we went to the Pro Football Hall of Fame yesterday, right? Man, it was... It was pretty fun, right? I'm a football fan, and, you know, of course, I'm making a crack on the Browns and the Lions as soon as I walk in there. They ask us what our favorite team was, and I said, well, me and Brenna are Patriots fans, and Joseph's a Broncos fan. And she's like, oh, okay, you'll definitely want to check out the Super Bowl gallery. I was like, yeah, unlike most Browns and Lions fans that come in here. yeah, that's right. I know my audience. But one of the things that we saw, okay, one of the things that we saw was this video about training camp, okay? And they showed this video about training camp. In this video about training camp, they talked about how everybody hates training camp. It just despises training camp. It's the hottest part of the year. It is outside. It is grueling. It's not fun football stuff. It's calisthenics. It's weight training. It's all of, you know, the basic foundational gross stuff that is a must do during training camp, and people hate it, right? They absolutely hate it. Now, they showed this video right before we walked in to watch a video about the road to the Super Bowl, right? And the road to the Super Bowl, they flew through the regular season, and they went into the playoffs, and then the marquee of the video was the Falcons versus the Patriots Super Bowl. That's what it was really all about. Now, all 32 NFL teams want to make it to the Super Bowl. And once you're in the Super Bowl, okay, there's nothing you want more than to win the Super Bowl. Okay, but only one team wins the Super Bowl. And so there is a direct correlation between what happens in training camp and who wins the Super Bowl or not. See, everybody wants to win the Super Bowl. Does everybody want to do the work over here to get them to the point where they win the Super Bowl? Well, guess what? You don't get this over here if you haven't done this over here. In the same way, for us in Christianity, the work and the process that we put in results in the production. Focusing on the production, I want to go to the Super Bowl, I want to go to the Super Bowl, I want to go to the Super Bowl, doesn't get you any closer to going to the Super Bowl. And when the focus for the individual Christian is on sin, okay, that's like, I want to go to the Super Bowl, I want to go to the Super Bowl, I want to go to the Super Bowl. I want to stop sinning, right? I want to stop sinning, I want to stop sinning, I want to stop sinning. Oh, okay, great. Well, what's that got to do with anything, really? Guys, I think that we're all pretty familiar with the concept, okay? But the same thing is true about perfection. I want to be perfect, 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 I want to be like Jesus. Okay, did that necessarily get you any closer to being like Jesus? So while it's important for all of us to know and to recognize that yes, our potential in Jesus Christ is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is Matthew 5:48, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Our potential is, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We need to not forget about that potential, but simply focusing on the potential does not translate potential into capability. That's why we want to make sure that we're Romans 12:2 people. Okay? There is a renewing of our mind that is absolutely essential that we focus on that process if we are concerned about ultimate production. One of the things that my Patriots, who are hated by all of you, talk about is the process, right? Well, okay. They've obviously found a way to make that work in football. Who cares about football, really, right? Guys, Jesus is interested in the real process that matters. The process of transforming you into the image of his son. See, his process works 100% of the time. You know, Patriots, Tom Brady, you know, tears his ACL, guess what happens to the process? Oops. Right? Matt Castle doesn't even make the playoffs, right? Well, guess what? Jesus' process always works. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, okay, if we behold the image of Christ in glory, we will be transformed into that same image. The question is, are we willing to engage in that process to behold the Christ who is in glory? So, as we approach the next few weeks, not counting next week because you'll get the treat of hearing Mr. Luke Wilson instead of me. Figure you are, it's only been 8 or 9 weeks, but I figure you're already a little bit sick of me. So it'll be great to have Mr. Luke in here and preaching at us. I'm super excited to have him in. But what we'll be going over the next couple of weeks is, okay, let's look at our own individual lives, how we can engage in that process. How can I engage in the process so that I can work together with the Holy Spirit to translate ability into capability? The Holy Spirit in us provides all of the ability. None of that ability comes from us. I don't have any ability to be able to save myself. Right? Jesus had all the ability to save me. Okay? But I had to engage in the process, didn't I? I don't do what he says to do. He's not going to save me against my will. We did talk about Calvinism a couple weeks ago. Right? He's not going to save me against my will. I have to engage in the process. Well, not only does that work for initial justification, okay, but that continues to work in the life of the Christian, that he is not going to work in my life against my will either. I have to engage in the process. I have to be fully engaged in the process. I really appreciate the example that's been brought forth about the rheostat. All of the power through the Holy Spirit is there for the Christian. The Christian is the rheostat that can then crank up the power, who is the Holy Spirit, or can turn it down. For guys like me, I understand it better with a light switch dimmer, right? All the power is there for, we have lights in our living room that can be really dim or they can be really bright. Well, the power is there for the light to be every bit as bright as Jesus Christ in glory. The question is, how bright am I going to turn that thing up to? Okay? And that's on me. That's whether I'm engaged in the process or not. So that introduction took a lot longer than I thought it was. So let's edit on the fly a little bit here. We have a Father, okay, who is very intimately and closely concerned with our individual growth. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. So one of the great things about preaching somewhere on a weekly basis is that I don't have to cram it all in today. You know, back home I preach, you know, once a month or a little more often. You know, man, are people even going to remember next time? Here, like, I can stop at any point. We can just continue right on through. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? God, our Father, wants us to succeed. Good earthly Father, okay, is very much concerned about the preparation and success of their children. There's an understanding, okay, that, yeah, we're concerned about their production, but ultimately it's their preparation that's going to lead to production. And so we want, as earthly fathers, as even disciple makers, okay, we want to give good gifts to our children. Why? We love them. Care about them. We want what's best for our kids. Spiritually, we got a daddy who wants what's best for his kids. He's not a daddy who's gonna, when we ask for a piece of bread, that he's gonna give us a stone, or if we ask for a fish, is gonna give us a snake. We got a dad who cares very much for his children. So he's not going to leave us out to dry, okay, in that he gives us what we need, our ability. And then he also gives us a guidebook to put that ability into capability. Because he cares about us. Because he loves us. Because he wants to see us succeed and to unlock and to fulfill the potential that we have in him. Because we're his kids. He loves us. He cares about us. He's interested in our success on an individual level. He knows us. Luke chapter 12. Verses 6 and 7. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. He knows about the sparrows that fall, that are sold. He doesn't forget about them. And you're more valuable than a lot of sparrows. He knows you. He knows the very hairs of your head are numbered according to the scriptures, and he knows them. He loves you. He cares about you. He's intimately concerned with your success in him. You running the race in such a way that you may win. He's so concerned that he's not only given you the ability, but he is also giving you the capability. Where we're going to pick up next time, and the final thought that I want to leave us with this morning afternoon. Man, I was 2 weeks in a row. I broke my streak. It's really frustrating. So where I want to leave you with this afternoon is, we got a dad who's concerned with our success We have a dad who's cheering for us and a dad who is rooting for us. We have a heavenly Father who is intimately concerned with our success. That's a dad that we can talk to and be honest with. That's a dad that we can be real with. That's a dad that we can communicate with. Now, here on earth, we may or may not have had an earthly father like that. But each and every one of us, if we are in Jesus Christ, we have a dad who is pulling for us, who wants us to be successful, and wants us to talk to him. Wants us to be honest with him. Guys, God knows. Wherever we're at today, God knows. And wherever we're at today, God loves and accepts us. Wherever you're at today, God loves and accepts you. If you're in Christ, that reconciliation is there. See, he loved and accepted us when we were yet sinners. So, don't you think that he loves and accepts you while you're in him? Now, he loves and accepts you enough to give you the capability to win this race. But that does not take away from the fact that his love for you is not dependent on your personal state and behavior in this moment. His love for you exceeds that. So that gives us the ability to be able to be honest with him. Lord, you know exactly where I'm at. You understand exactly what I'm working on. You know exactly what I'm going through, and I can be completely, totally, and utterly honest with you, and you still love me. You still care. Each one of us can do that. And not only can we do that, but for us to grow, to translate ability into capability, absolute honesty is absolutely necessary. Without that honesty, there's no going forward because we can't assess it. But we got a God that's not looking to strike us down. He's not mad at us. And wherever we are at, he loves and loves and accepts us. So, don't be afraid. Just talk to your dad. Jeremy?